This is the SB Live Washington podcast, a weekly conversation about high school sports across the Evergreen State. I'm Andy Bueller, statewide preps reporter, and joining me, as usual, is senior reporter, your pal and mine, Todd Millis, as well as former pro-turned-basketball analyst, host of the podcast, The ISO with Dan Dickow. It's Dan Dickow. Fellas, how you guys doing?
Things are good for me. Family's healthy. Starting to get a little bit more clarity for school for everyone, which is helpful. But at the same time, you know, the three of us were focused on sports, and you're getting a little bit of answers at the college level. We've gotten some clarity at the high school level, but at the same time, as we've all learned, things can change pretty quickly.
I was hoping that Scorebook Live would send us out to Florida and we could watch some NBA stuff in the bubble, but I guess we'll just deal with high school sports here in Washington.
I'm with Todd on that one, that's for sure.
Yeah, I am too. Coming up, Dan speaks with Tacoma Community College head men's basketball coach, Rashi Wortham. He's a Tacoma native, and he's seen and been a part of a lot of great high-level basketball in this state. We're going to get to that later, but first, more and more districts and leagues across the state of Washington have decided to forgo any attempts at playing low-risk high school sports this fall. This comes, of course, weeks after the WIA announced a four-season schedule for the 2020-2021 school year that to sort of combat and acquiesce to the coronavirus pandemic that's pushed volleyball, soccer, football, those high moderate-risk sports to the spring, and basketball to the end of December. So as of now, basketball is set to start a couple days after Christmas. Football is set to start mid-February. Now, football has been designated a high-risk sport, and a high-risk means high-risk for transmission of the virus. Basketball, according to state health officials, is a moderate-risk sport. So my question to both of you, and it's a loaded one, I'll admit that, but we have a little bit to parse through. Which season do you think is most likely to be played, a moderate-risk basketball or a high-risk football? And do you think that they will start on time based on what we know now, 6 months after any high school game has taken place?
Well, fingers crossed they both occur. They both happen. Seeing the fact that the WIA, Mick Hoffman, made a decision a few weeks back to move football to the spring, I think now after you see what the Pac-12 did, the Big Ten has done, I think that should set some people's mind at ease in the state of Washington in regards to high school sports, and that being a good decision. That being said, fingers crossed that we can kind of clear this a little bit quicker. And we can go ahead and play basketball at the end of December and start with practices. It's unfortunate, because typically your best teams from the state are going to go to Christmas time tournaments, and those schools aren't going to be able to do that this year. So that's going to be disappointing and frustrating for quite a few kids or in programs that were finally going to be a part of some of those big time tournaments. But my fingers crossed is that, yes, we are going to play basketball. Practice will, as of the plan as of now, will start end of December. Games start pretty quickly. My fingers are crossed that's going to happen, and I'm really pulling for it to happen, obviously.
I've gone back and forth with this question. First off, it's interesting to me that basketball and other indoor sports are listed as moderate risk. I actually think that they're at the worst – best case scenario, they're high moderate risk. I don't think it's that far between football and basketball in the designation. I mean, I understand that football has more people on the field, more people close together on the field, but it is an outdoor sport. Basketball being indoors, the ventilation, all that stuff, sweat transmission. I mean, I just go back and forth on which one I think has a better chance of playing. I'm with you, Dan. I'm keeping my fingers crossed. I think 2021 is a big cliff for the psychology of student athletes. If we don't play sports, I can't even imagine what that impact will be on seniors, juniors, and sophomores. They need to be playing sports in 2021. With that being said, which sport do I think is going to has the best chance of being played? I'm going to go with football. I'm going to go with football. It's a couple months longer, or it's a couple months after basketball. We're going to get a couple more months into to see what this trend of the latest trends of the COVID are doing. Better chance of a vaccine. I don't say that with a whole lot of confidence, but I'd like to think that if we're in late February or early March, and football, I just think there's probably a slightly better chance that football will be played over basketball. For nothing else, just the fact that it starts 2 months later. But I'm keeping my fingers crossed that both sports are being played, because I think it has to happen. We're at the cliff. We're at the breaking point here, right here at 2021.
You know, I think you touched on something really important, Todd, that I've read a few articles on, but I think it's going to be fascinating to see, and not necessarily fascinating in a good way, but the mental health of these student athletes that are losing their seasons, in particular seniors, if they do lose their season, is the fact that, you know, so many athletes are geared towards my senior season. I've got to, you know, continue to work to be ready for that. And that'll open up opportunities for myself, maybe to get into college. And so much of it's being taken away from. And so that's going to be something really interesting to see, unfortunately, how it is going to impact kids in the future.
We know this virus is transmitted based off of the little that we know, and what health officials are figuring out in real time, is that this virus is transmitted through airborne particles, and that can happen at a higher rate indoors. Now, you look at basketball, and you know, potentially, I can imagine a situation where there are gyms that don't circulate their air very well, or you know, you're recirculating the same air. That could put kids at higher risk. You know, we're seeing it as gyms are reopening, or you know, in certain parts of the country. I don't know that I necessarily come down super hard on one side or the other. I kind of think football, that's where I'm leaning, will have an easier time based off what we know about how football practices are structured with COVID regulations. We know that players take place, they are in individual pods of up to 10 players. We know that's because if one player in a pod tests positive for the virus, you quarantine that pod. Then the health department comes in and contact traces everybody. Well, instead of you know, a quarterback being in close proximity with every one of his teammates, varsity and JV, you have a small group that could be contained. Now, we'll see how that plays out in this fall around states across the country. But that actually gives me a little bit of promise that there are these systems that will allow for certain players to quarantine and to recover from the virus, potentially, obviously staying safe and keeping the rest of the team safe. Basketball, I have a harder time seeing that being translated and those regulations applying in, you know, indoors. You have smaller teams. Say it's somebody in one team tests positive. Okay, so you have more games. Does that mean that the potential amount of players who have been exposed has been higher? I kind of think basketball, especially being a couple months sooner, is going to have a harder time coming back. Now, I say that while understanding that there are secret tournaments, and I say secret in huge air quotes. There are tournaments happening in Moscow and Boise where basketball players and teams, club teams are going and playing. And so far, you know, I've talked to one tournament director who's been holding them in Idaho, who said that, you know, so far they haven't heard of any sort of spread of the virus that has taken place at one of their tournaments. The Boss of Ball Showcase in Centralia when Lewis County was in phase three, same thing. So who knows? You know, we talked to former Wenatchee quarterback Camden Sermon a couple weeks ago on the podcast, and he kind of shed light on what practice looks like for when football is going to return in Washington. He moved to Montana, has been participating in practice, so I'd highly recommend going back and listening to that.
No, but I do have a question that I want to pose to the both of you. And I, you know, Washington is not California, and I'm not pretending that it is from a weather standpoint, but California was the first state, I believe, in on the West Coast to kind of establish a 2021 model. They went football first, basketball after that. I want to ask you two, should Washington have mirrored that model? Were you surprised that when the WIA released its return to play in 2021, that basketball was preceding football? What are some of your thoughts about that?
I think that's really weather dependent in Washington. You're talking about states with completely different climates and areas of the state of Washington. You know, we all know from talking to coaches, Dan knows from living in Spokane, football in January is less feasible in certain parts of the state than it is elsewhere. And California has an easier time with that because of its climate. So that's the number one thing. I kind of think that led the charge with the WI making that decision, is saying, you know, let's allow, if we come back, you know, let's allow for a lower chance that, you know, so many teams are playing in snow.
Well, I think, you know, the fact is, if you're trying to play football in, you know, start practice in December and games in January, February in the state of Washington, that's going to be very difficult to do on the east side of the state, just because of the snow and the cold. On the west side, it's going to be crazy wet. At least when you start talking about March and April, you're going to get a little bit of a break from the weather. You might still have some snow on the ground here on the east side, but you know, California, I think they're in the boat where, you know, they can kind of, they don't have to deal with weather in the way that we have to deal with it in planning and scheduling and trying to organize out all these things.
Scorebooklive.com/Washington is, of course, your home for high school sports coverage across this state. Todd and I have been continuing to write stories, and Dan has been continuing to produce great podcasts 3 times a week now with ISO. So head there. That's going to be your home throughout this pandemic for high school sports news in the state of Washington. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, Rashi Wortham, Tacoma Community College head men's basketball coach, catches up with our very own Dan Dickow. This podcast is brought to you by Washington Federal. Washington Federal is a local bank and portfolio lender with more than 200 branches across 8 states, more than 32,000 fee-free ATMs, 24/7 online and mobile banking with drive-up ATMs. Washington Federal is a proud sponsor of Scorebook Live. They care deeply about high school sports and the communities that support them across the entire state of Washington. Head to WFDBank.com to learn how they can help you meet your financial goals. That's WAFDBank.com. Washington Federal, a neighbor you can count on. We hope everybody's staying safe and healthy. We're just as excited for high school sports to return as you are.
Welcome to today's episode of SB Live Washington Today and the ISO with Dan Dickow and SB Live Sports. Today's guest, someone who's had a tremendous amount of success as a player and a coach in the Pacific Northwest, the new head coach at TCC, Tacoma Community College, Rashi Wortham. Great to have you on today, coach. How's life?
Man, I'm so blessed. I can't complain. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. I mentioned you're the new head coach at TCC, a program mm-hmm. that in the NWAC has had a lot of tradition, a lot of success yeah. over the years. Guys like Carl Howell have been head coaches mm-hmm. there, who's very well known in the Northwest. RJ Barsh mm-hmm. helped out for a number of years with Carl Howell. He's now an up-and-coming assistant coach at Boise State. You are now the head coach, but you also mm-hmm. played there. So mm-hmm. it's kind of come in full circle for you. What type of excitement do you have, and how are you preparing for your first season as head coach?
A lot of excitement. I'm from Tacoma, and to have a gym or a school like Tacoma where everybody's played in from the city, everybody knows, is a big deal. A community supports it. It's different because COVID is a real thing right now, and it's happening. And so the preparation is a little bit different from a normal year. It keeps away from our players. It keeps our players away from the gym. The gym is closed right now, and so we don't know where it's going to go yet. At this time, they got a plan for January when we can get going, and so we'll see what happens.
You mentioned that TCC is really kind of entrenched in the basketball community in Tacoma, and mm-hmm. you guys, I've heard the stories of how good the open gyms have been in the past and how mm-hmm. good they are at different times. You grew up in Tacoma. I can only imagine that you played in many of those open gyms. Now mm-hmm. as the head coach, how valuable and how important do you think that is to having an open gym setting at your school where guys can continue to learn the game and as well as you can kind of help move the game forward as well as help your program if there are guys that unfortunately may not qualify academically or are looking for a better opportunity for themselves?
So very valuable, just not even just those guys, not our guys, but the guys that need real work, like guys that are NBA players that come back and just want work and want competitive atmosphere. And then for the young guys that are looking up, a lot of young players that are in 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade that maybe they're going to school across the country or they're going to school in the South that have an opportunity to still play and compete, have a chance to do it every single night at Tacoma Community College. And I was lucky enough to be able to be one of those guys when the overseas players were coming back and competing against us. And guys that I looked up to that I was playing against, like, man, this is crazy that we get to play against these guys. But it was a mainstay in the community. And you ask anybody who's grown up in Tacoma, have they played at Tacoma Community College? Those open runs were everything for us.
You grew up in Tacoma, as we've touched on. You went to Foss High School. You won a state mm-hmm. title in 2000.
Yep.
As a player like myself who went on and had a lot of personal success and mm-hmm. got to play at higher levels, I unfortunately never won a high school state tournament. Now, you've gone on to coach at college at the Division I level. Mm-hmm. How much pride and how great are the memories of winning a state title?
Amazing. We laugh and joke. We call each other and say, what's up, champ, to those guys, because Tacoma hadn't won a state championship in 26 years. And so that was the first one in 26 years. And the good thing about that team was it was all organic. Our kids came from Al Davies Boys and Girls Club, where we all played, and then we all went to Foss. So our neighborhood, the Hilltop neighborhood, split up between Stadium and Foss High School at that time. And so most of our kids that played on those teams went to Foss, and we all won a championship together. So we knew how each other played. We knew who was going to be lacking on defense. We knew how to rotate for each other. So it was I got a really good friend who was one of our better players. I won't say his name. He's going to be in the Hall of Fame at Eastern Washington one day. He wasn't the best defender, and so we had to stick up for him. But on the other end, he was phenomenal on offense. So in due time, we'll talk about him, I'm sure.
I think I know who you're talking about. So after your time as a player at TCC, you went to Eastern, and I believe yep. you played with the former teammate you're talking about there. What was it like for you to be a Division I player? Because, you know, a lot of people think about, oh, if I don't make it to Division I right out of high school, I didn't make it. And every athlete's steps are different. You went to TCC as a junior college, and then you were able to make the transition to the Division I game. What type of experience was it for you over in Cheney?
It was unbelievable, honestly. I first say Coach Howell gave me a great opportunity at Tacoma Community College, and I actually went with him to Eastern Washington. But I had a bunch of my kind of AAU teammates from Al Davies Boys and Girls Club that went to TCC and then went to Eastern, and so we kind of stayed together, along with the guy Alvin Snow, who was – in the Hall of Fame already and an amazing player overseas and this, that, and the third, but we are really good friends now. I grew up playing against him, and I didn't know what type of competitor or person he was. And so Mark Axton, who we laugh and joke about the defense, but was state player of the year in 2001, went over to Eastern Washington. Josh Bernard, Kerry Nicholas, Brendan Merritt. We had a bunch of guys from Tacoma area that played at Eastern. And then we won the first Big Sky tournament championship. We won the league, then won the tournament championship, and then played an NCAA tournament. So the one memory that I have that trumps every memory that I've had in basketball is the fans rushing the court after we won the championship in the Big Sky tournament.
The ability and the opportunity to play in the NCAA tournament as a player is something I'll never forget. I had an opportunity to be a part of teams at University of Washington, Gonzaga, that did that. When you are a lower seed, and you have to, you know, in your conference tournament that you have to win to get into it. And then you go to the NCAA as a lower seed. what is the approach? What is the kind of atmosphere around the team leading up to that game?
It was all focus. It wasn't even about the NCAA tournament. It was about winning that game because they had went to the championship game 3 times in a row before that. Ray Giacoletti's a heck of a coach, and they went to the championship game 3 years in a row and lost 3 years in a row. So this year, we had to bust the bubble and get there. It was unbelievable. It was at Eastern Washington. We hosted. We had the Big Sky Player of the Year, and we had, I don't know, three first-team All-League guys, I think. And it was just a great experience, but it was all focus. It was razor. I mean, it was in the locker room was silent besides coach talking. And so everybody was dialed in. I remember I got chills now thinking about it, but it was an amazing feeling.
A lot of times players start looking towards their next step, what they want to do. Do they want to go play over in Europe? If maybe mm-hmm. the NBA is not in their future, do they want to get mm-hmm. into coaching? A couple of the names that you just quickly mentioned, part of your TCC and Eastern Washington path, mm-hmm. Coach Ray Giacoletti, who's a phenomenal coach, a really good friend of mine, as well as Carl Howell, who you mentioned, are very well respected in the Northwest. Did they mm-hmm. kind of give you your first kind of mentorship as far as, hey, you could be a really good coach? Or where did that kind of coaching bug hit you at?
I was a boy, and I wanted to coach. I've never been a good basketball player. I'll say that. I was a really good teammate. I was the teammate who cheered for everybody, who dove on the floor, who took the charges. If I was sitting on the bench, I was okay with sitting on the bench if that's best for our team. I wanted to play every second, but I wasn't that good a player. And so, but in seventh grade, I was at Young Life Camp, and I decided I was going to be a college basketball coach. And so my whole entire life from seventh grade on, I kept every scouting report, every practice plan that I've ever had. And so I got books and books and books on my shelves of practice plans. Travis DeCure, who was my AAU coach, I told him when I was in ninth grade, listen, I'm going to be a college basketball coach. He started mentoring me then.
We talked about Coach Giacoletti and Carl, and then Carl Howell. Mm-hmm. Well, the other mm-hmm. two coaches that when I look at your bio of who you worked with, and we met at the Big Sky Tournament when you were an assistant in Montana, mm-hmm. was under Travis DeCure. I look at Wayne Tinkle and Travis DeCure as being two very, very high character guys, very, very good basketball coaches. What did you learn from them that made you really kind of grow as a coach?
Wayne, first and foremost, he loves every player, man. He has a relationship with every player where I don't care if you're mad at him or not, you can just go in his in his office and laugh and joke with him. And so I was on the phone with him yesterday and we were talking about that. Like, what is it that you have to do to build that? And he's like, every kid is different, but show them you love them, but go hard on them as well. And so they know every kid thrives in structure. If there's a lot of structure on them and you push their buttons to see them be great, they're going to be better and you have a better relationship with them. Travis is the most detailed person I've ever been around. He's never going to leave one rock unturned. And a lot of people go through walkthrough. There's no walkthrough for Travis. It's go through everything. We're walking through every single thing. If they have one out of bounds play we don't go over, he wants to go over it. If there's one special play that they have, he wants to go over it. So it could be a walkthrough for 45 minutes. We're going through that walkthrough, not 15 minutes like a lot of teams do. So I respect that. I learned a lot from Travis, but offensively, he's the best mind I've been around.
That's really interesting to hear that you talk about the detail of Travis DeCure. That's one of the places that our paths have crossed in the path with my broadcasting work. Mm-hmm. I've been to a couple Montana walkthroughs. Mm-hmm. And you're exactly right. Other team comes and shoots for 20 minutes. Montana takes their full hour and 15, hour and a half, yep. Whatever it might have been, and it was very detailed. It was go through everything. It was be prepared. You took a year and you stepped back, you moved back to the Tacoma area where you're from, and you got into business and you got into coaching Team Bradley.
Yeah.
Then this TCC opportunity came up. Mm-hmm. Obviously you've got the pass with TCC. How did you feel that you were ready to make that jump? Was it a conversation or two that maybe you had with Coach DeCure, Wayne Tinkle, or is it just something that you felt in your heart, you know what, this is it, the time's right, I'm going?
Couple things. I was back in Tacoma. I'm working for Country Financial, doing finance and insurance. And my job is like 35 seconds away from TCC if you drive. And so I'm helping with Team Bradley, Avery Bradley's youth program. But on top of that, I got a phone call about Tacoma Community College. And it's up my wheelhouse. I mean, we talked about earlier, it's near and dear to me. I won a championship there. Some of my best friends I met are from there. Actually, the guy who was the pastor of my wedding was my teammate from TCC. I met my wife at TCC. So my mom, actually, I encouraged her to go back and get a degree from TCC after she had her life growing up and didn't do so good in school. And so TCC is near and dear. But when it came up, I was like, man, if my job is okay with me taking this position, I'd love to do it. So my supervisors are well on board, and I'm doing pretty good in the business. And so it works.
With any assistant coach, as they kind of grow their knowledge base of how to coach, of what their mm-hmm. style is going to be, of what their philosophy is going to be, it's a big jump to make that move and
be ready. Yes.
Now, you're at TCC. You've mm-hmm. had all these game plans from, like you what you said, 7th, 8th grade. You've saved them all. Mm-hmm. So you've been thinking about this. You've been working towards this opportunity. But now you have your shot. Now you're ready. Yep. To run your own program. What is the message that you want to give to high school kids that maybe you're going to recruit? Maybe what's the message to parents as well as high school coaches in the area of why those kids need to consider TCC and playing for you?
A couple of different things. I am going to have their back regardless to what happens. If something happens, I'm not going to let it get out on social media. When these guys tell me what they're ideas are for moving on, I'm going to have serious conversation with them and say, hey, this is my thought. I've seen guys similar to you. They played at this level. If you want to go to Duke, let's just say, the guys that have your skill set play at this level. And so I'll try to have realistic conversation with them, but I want to play fast. Whatever. A lot of coaches say, I want to play fast, but I want to get stops. And if you get stops, then you can play fast. If you don't, then you get the ball out the net. You're not really playing that fast. And so with getting stops, that's getting the ball back. And so not just rebounding, but steals and charges and rotations and block shots, all that good stuff. But and then letting, like, a lot of coaches recruit guys and they don't let them do what they've come in and shown. And so I want to be able to let the kids do what they've done. If you're a shooter, shoot. If you're a post guy, I'm going to throw it into you in the post. And so we'll play inside out for sure. But if you're a guy who can break somebody down, please break them down. If you know any Dan Dickows in the area, please send them to me.
Well, my playing days are a little numbered, but who knows? I'll keep some guys in mind during the future. Last question before I let you go. And I know you've got a ton of pride for the state of Washington. You got a ton of pride for your Tacoma area. Earlier this spring, SB Live Washington ran a fan poll on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook, and through our website of 2000 and on, who's the greatest player in this that came from the state of Washington.
Yep.
There were a number of good players, Brandon Roy, Martell Webster, Zach Levine, Spencer Hawes, you name it, guys were on it. One of Tacoma's own, Isaiah Thomas, won our fan voting. Is Isaiah the best player that you've seen in your time, and you put everything together, high school, college, pro career, to come from the state of Washington?
I think it's different when you in that, from that time, yes, Isaiah is the best. When you talk high school, college, pro, but you talk high school is different. And so a lot of people just looked at high school and like, oh, Isaiah wasn't the best high school player. There was other guys on that list that I thought might have been better than Isaiah. And I love Isaiah. Me and him have a love-hate relationship. He loves me, but he hates that I tell him the truth all the time. And so I love him. I hate the way he responds to a lot of things on the internet. And so that's like a little brother of mine. And he and I are good friends, but that was awesome to see that he won that.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. I know you've got a lot of things that are going through your mind to finish prepping for your first season, and that's stressful enough. But considering the pandemic and the scheduling delays that everybody is having to go through, you've got even more on your plate. So wishing nothing but the best at TCC and SB Live Washington. We're glad to support you, and best of luck.
Thanks so much. Appreciate your time.
Thanks for listening to today's episode. Subscribe to the SB Live Washington podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, give us an honest rating and review. It helps us do what we do. For SB Live Sports, we'll be back next week. We'll be right back.